జయ విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర సరస్వతి శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిథిలయా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శైల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతమూడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శైల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సమో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరి భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురిధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురిధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురిధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమాముష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బోధలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్తుం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంది ఎల్ సూరయ. తేజోవారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష దామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్రవరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ముహురహోరసియా భువి భావుగా. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమాజ్జుభావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోపినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయకిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుక్కునిదాతృదానందోః మమ ఉవాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం నక్కనిగాభి కాభిగావి. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజశ్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ. పీతాంబరం గరువిరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదగీసరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళేశమనిశం ప్రతిభావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिदं पुराण मुनिनां अध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेव सुदं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोल्कडं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेवीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणीन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्वन्युन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचमिमां प्रसुप्तं सञ्जीवयत्यखिल शक्तिधर सुधाम्नाम् अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणां त्वगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं भूतैर्महद्ब्रिये मा पुरो विभुर्दुर्माय शेदे यदमूषु पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशाल्पकं सोऽलं कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे प्रह्लादनारदपराशरपुण्डरीक व्यासम्बरीष शुकशौनक भीष्मदाभ्यान् रुक्माङ्गदार्जुन वसिष्ठ विभीषणान्यन् पुण्यानि मान् परमभागवतान् स्मरामि
We were talking yesterday about in the 7th chapter, in the 8th canto, this churning began and first the halahala poison came out. So from the tattvam side, it is said that the both in the Upanishads as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, indriyams or senses are normally spoken as devas. Indriyams and senses are spoken as devas. And out of that, the jnana indriyam, that means the senses related to the knowledge, which means the five senses of knowledge, jnana indriyam, they are, when they are in sattvagunam, they are capable of helping us. That means that's why that deva bhava, spiritual side of the devata form. Devadas are normally in sattvagunam. So the sattvagunam aspect is present in the senses of knowledge. Similarly, rajogunam is in the karmendriyam. And therefore they are considered as asuras, because karmendriyam is the one which gets us into trouble, makes us to do a lot of karmam through them. And through that karmendriyam, when we do karmam, we create karmavasana. And through that karmavasana, we get bound more and more in the material world. So, through the help of these senses, one has to execute shravanam, kirtanam, and bhagavata dharmam and going back to Krishna. That is basically what we call it as the churning of this, the churning process, right? So it's quite normal when we start the churning first, the first thing that will come out is all the poison inside us. So, but which means all the bad vasanas inside. And that is why considered to be the halahalam here. And in order to get rid of them, once we get rid of them and we get purified within the heart, only then the nectar will come out after that. That's why poison comes out first and then the nectar comes. Poison represents all our bad vasanas inside, and the nectar refers to self-realization, knowledge. So initially, when this poison comes out, one should not get too much concerned about it, because due to the mercy of Krishna and also by the spiritual master's mercy, and that is Guru, that Guru Bhava. Krishna's position as spiritual master is, as he said yesterday, is Shiva. Or we call sometimes as Dakshinamurti, Sadashiva. All these are representation of the spiritual aspect, the spiritual master's aspect of Krishna. And so taking his shelter, like Krishna says in the Sudama Charitam, Gurur Anigrihe Neiva Puman Purna Prashandaye. Right? So only when this, it is the Guru Bhavam that takes care of all that bad vasanas from within us, and that is what is called Guru Kripa. Guru mercy of the Guru means receiving this poison of inside us. When it comes out, he is able to clear that away through his instructions. That bad vasanas within us get cleared up through the Guru's instructions, right? So taking shelter of Sadashiva in that form, and sometimes they stand Panjaksharam, the five syllables Namah Shivaya, for Shiva's mercy, in order to get the... That is why Namah Shivaya is mentioned in the Vedam. Panjaksharam is mentioned in the Vedam. Because Panjaksharam is for purifying the intelligence. Purifying the intelligence. So when this halahala poison comes out, like here you can see, it spreads all over the world, right? So the Prajapatis who were present there, they found it very difficult and they thought themselves, what should we do? And that is how they take shelter of Sadashiva. The reason why Lord Shiva comes in there is because of this. That when the poison came out, they felt the necessity to get the protection from Shiva. They felt that. And that Sadashiva Bhavam, nobody else has got that. This is special mercy of Lord Shiva. You can see that in the Bhagavatam all the way through. In all critical conditions, it is Shiva who is sheltering the devotees. Prajeda's case, Ambarisha's case, and many, many places you will see this, Markandeya's case, everywhere. When the devotee is endeavoring very hard, he gets this shelter from the Guru aspect of Krishna, which is Dakshinamurti or Sadashiva Bhavam. And he protects that, the difficulties what the sadhaka is facing at that moment. He clears it up for them, right? So, and nobody else has got that mercy for the devotees like Shiva has, right? So, so all the Prajapatis who were present there at the churning of the milk ocean, they chanted the Panjaksharam and came closer to Lord Shiva, who was present there. And then they went to Kailasam. In Kailasam, sorry. So, that's what you will see in the 20th verse mentioned there. Vilokyatam devavaram trilokya bhavaya devya bhimatam muninam asinamadra apavarga hedo tapojushanam studibipranemo. Vilokyatam devavaram trilokya భవాయ దేవ్యో అభిమతం మునీనాం ఆసీనమద్రావ అపవర్గ హేతో తపోజుషాణం స్తుతి ప్రణయమో. ఇన్ శ్రీ కైలాస్ ఇన్ కైలాసం విత్ శ్రీ పార్వతీదేవి మహాదేవ ఇస్ సిట్యువేటెడ్ అండ్ హీఈస్ ఇన్ మెడిటేషన్ అండ్ దే కేమ్ దేర్ అండ్ ఆల్ ద ప్రజాపతిస్ కేమ్ అండ్ విత్ వెరీ స్పెషల్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్స్ దే గ్లోరిఫైడ్ శ్రీ పార్వతి అండ్ శివ అండ్ ఆఫర్డ్ ఒబేసాన్సెస్ టు హిమ్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ అట్ దీస్ ప్రేయర్స్ ప్రజాపతిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ వాట్ యూ విల్ ఫైండ్ దేర్ ఈస్ దాట్ దే హ్యావ్ వెరీ క్లియర్లీ స్పోకన్ దేర్ ఈస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ కృష్ణ అండ్ శివ దే ఆర్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్. పరమేశ్వర ఈ శివ అండ్ మహావిష్ణు అండ్ కృష్ణ దే హ్యావ్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ దే ఆర్ వన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ దాట్ మూడ్ దిస్ హోల్ ప్రేయర్స్ ఇస్. సో ప్రజాపతి ఊచు దేవ దేవ మహాదేవ దిస్ ఇస్ ద ఫేమస్ ప్రేయర్స్ ఇన్ ది అష్టమ స్కందం దిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ శివస్ ప్రేయర్స్ రైట్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ శివ. దేవ దేవ మహాదేవ భూతాత్మన్ భూత భావన త్రాహిన శరణావన త్రైలోక్య దహనాద్ విషాద్. సో ది ప్రజాపతి ఈస్ ఆల్సో started saying that deva deva mahadeva among the devas you are the highest mahadeva he is right and along with the other devas for the protection of the whole creation and for the rishis for their help but how through giving them the knowledge of the self alpana alpa vivegam the discrimination between the self and matter self and the non self and in that way rejecting the anatma what is not the self consciousness and establishing the mind in the self alpa vastu. And the rishis are trying for that through their tapas austerities, right? So this performing that tapas and being focused on the Paramatma Vastu, Shuddha Chaitanya, pure consciousness, and that Sanatana Satyam, eternal truth, which is our Surubam, which is Sachidananda Surubam, and establishing the mind there, and who Mahadev's meditation is like that. He is fully situated in the self all the time. And that is how this glorification begins, right? In this divine samadhi state, being focused on the self, you will see this Brahma Dhyanam spoken in Bhagavatam in few places. Here Lord Shiva is in Brahma Dhyanam. Krishna's daily routine, there is Brahma Dhyanam. You can see that in the 71st chapter, I think, in the 10th canto. Every morning, Krishna was also situated in the Brahma position, Brahma Dhyanam. So, this Sachidananda Surubam, experiencing that Sachidanandam totally, and absorbing in that, and Surubha Anubhuti, of the bliss that is coming out from the self-realization, and that tapas austerity he was performing, and for the benefit of the world, he performs this tapas. And glorified, he began the glorification that way. So, here you can see, sagunam, nirgunam, in both bhavam, he is addressing Parameshwara, Shiva, saying that, Narayana and Shiva are non-different. Narayana and Shiva are non-different, right? There is no difference at all. In this way, this Beda Buddhi came to think that they are different. Instead of going to this Shaivam Vaishnavam concept, that they are separate, that is not agreed here. Deva Deva Mahadeva Bhudalpa Bhudabhavana Trahi Na Sharanabhannan Trilokya Dhanadvushal. To see them as one, non-different, and this famous sotram, through this, Prajapatis are glorifying Shiva. This famous sotram, right? And what he's saying here is that all devas are under your control. Devadi Deva, Deva Deva, Devadi Deva, Mahadeva. And who is presenting in Buddha Altma, present as the soul within everyone. Same as like in Narayana's case. Like in Krishna's case, what is spoken? Krishna menam avehitvam altmanam ahilalpanam jagaddidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadimaya. The same Krishna tattvam they have applied to Lord Shiva here. From that itself you can see Buddha Altma, he is the soul of everyone. And one who is present in everyone's heart, and see Parama Premaspadam, one who is the source of all love, for like what is spoken about Krishna in the same way. The same way the bhavam here also. Like we say that Krishna is the source of all happiness, which is Antaryami inside. And that Antaryami is mentioned in the Upanishads as the source of all the bliss that comes from there. Like Taittiriya Upanishad and all talks about that, right? So he is present inside as the source of all bliss, Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam. And he says here, Bhuta Bhavana. Bhuta Bhavana means one who is able to protect all the Bhuta. Bhuta means all the living entities. And Sarva Loka Rakshaka, that means the protector of everything. And this whole universe is going to get completely burnt into ashes through this halahala poison, what was coming out, and praying to Mahadeva for protection, right? So, normally people will think this kind of sambodhana or address is for Mahavishnu or Narayana or Krishna. But instead it is addressed to Shiva here. At that moment, Lord Shiva is responding to that. That, look at the verse. In the, he says, you can see that verse also, that normally a concept is that Vishnu is responsible for the liberation, right? That is how it is popular among the Vaishnavas and all. So in order to alleviate that doubt from our mind, is the 23rd verse. Gunamaya sa shakti asya sargasitya peyan vibho dhalse yada sudrak bhuman brahma vishnu shiva bhidham. That due to the power of Yogamaya, the creation, maintenance and dissolution is carried out by you. Now it is addressed like that to Shiva. Normally it is not spoken like that, isn't it? Here it is addressing Lord Shiva and saying this to him, that through your Maya, which is modes, the three modes of nature, creation, maintenance and dissolution is carried out. And by your very nature, you are full of knowledge. And then you take these three forms as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. What is normally spoken with about Krishna, the same way it is spoken here. So in other words, Sachidananda Brahman takes these three forms and basically trying to tell us among the three, they are only due to the modes of nature that these three forms are spoken. Otherwise, the truth is one. Sachidananda Brahman, it is Sachidanandam it is, right? So, hey Bhuman, you see here, Gunamaya sa shaktyasa sargasitya peyan vibho dhalse yada so drik Bhuman. Hey Bhuman, this is taken from the Keno Upanishad, this verse. Not exactly in the way it is, but the message is from Keno Upanishad. He is saying here, alpe sukham asti bhuma eva sukham, in the Keno Upanishad says there. So, in alpam, in limited way, there is no sukham. Bhuma vis anandam, present everywhere. Alpam means what is a vastu that is being limited by time and space. Desham kalam. So, anything that is present, which has got ulpatti nasham, that means it was born at some time and it will get destroyed at some other time. And when it is, when something is limited by these two things, time and space, they are Maya's way of doing things. Maya limits everything to particular time, particular space. So, kalam desham, that limitations, when they are present, anything that is present under these two, they are all alpam. Limited they are, right? And you cannot get permanent happiness from that. That's one principle. Anything that is limited by time and space, from that you cannot get unlimited happiness. That means happiness also will be limited, like our body, like this world. All these things are limited by time and space. As long as something is limited by time and space, from there to expect happiness permanently is foolishness. You won't get it, right? So, whereas, that is bhuma, this is Kanopanishad verse it is. It says here, alpe sukham asti bhuma eva sukham. Bhuma means what is not limited by time and space. That is this ocean of bliss, ananda samudram. So, which doesn't have limitation by time and space, and which doesn't have ulpatti or layam. That means it is not born and it doesn't get destroyed and always remains as it is and permanently it is a reality and which is present in the whole creation and that is and which is not limited by desham kalam and that is bhumava. Again referring to Sachidananda Brahman. Brahman is this bhumava. Brahman is defined in this way. Not limited by time and space, and never created nor gets destroyed, and never changes either, and it is the ocean of bliss. Satya Chitta Anandam, that Anandam comes from there, right? And it is only in that ocean you will find proper happiness without any mixture of distress. All the happiness what we get in this world and from this body, you may say it is happiness, but it is always mixed with the distress in one form, right? So, bhuma means desham kalam, that influence is not there. Ananda surupam it is, ocean of bliss. Bhagavat surupam, paramatma surupam. Sudrik, it says. Sudrik bhuman. Dhalse yada sudrik bhuman. And sudrika means that siddha jnana surupam. Jnana surupam. That means under any circumstances his state of consciousness is not affected under any circumstances. You can see if you look at Krishna's different pastimes and the way Krishna reacted in this world, it's the same thing with the Shiva as well. So, completely absorbed in the Surupa Bodham, they know who they are. This is what Surupa Bodham means. We don't know who we are. This is our situation now, isn't it? We are thinking we are this body. And we are acting on that level in this world. Which shows that all our activities are in avidya. Completely in avidya we are acting in this world. But one, like Shiva's case and Krishna's case, they are always conscious who they are. They are not like us, thinking that they are the body, thinking that they are the form. They know they are Sachidananda Brahman. In that state of consciousness, whatever they do is not touched by Maya. So, that pure Sachidananda, Akhanda Sachidananda Brahman, that realization don't leave them. We have lost it long ago. But it never leaves them. Because we have lost it, that was the influence of Maya, and then we got affected by the identification with the body. So two things have happened. First, we lost our Sachidananda Brahman identity. Then secondly, we started identification with this body, gross body, right? So, for them, in any form they take, in any state, they know who they are, Swarupa Bodham, right? So, therefore, it is because of that, in these prayers you will see, he is glorified both ways, Sagunam and Nirgunam, both ways, right? So, on the Bhumava, when you say like that, he is in the Nirgunam way it is spoken. Present in the whole creation everywhere as pure consciousness, right? And so this word Sodrukka there, you see that Sodrukka. Sodrukka, Sridhara Swami says there, that Svata Siddha Jnanam Swarupam, he says. That means, they are always in the Svata Siddham, it is in them already, from beginning. Always they had it. It is not some, we all have to come back to that jnanam again. It is not Svata Siddham in us now. But in them, it is Svata Siddha Jnanam Swarupam, Sridhara Swami says there, about that word Sudrukka. Sudrukka, right? Sudrukka means, is pure consciousness, bodham. There is another meaning like that also. Sudrukka means, there is also another meaning, which is means pure bodham, pure consciousness, right? So, Svata Siddha Jnanam means, what they are indicating is, Paramatma Chaitanyam, Shuddha Chaitanyam, Bodham, which is mixed with Maya, which is combined with Maya, right? Maya has got these two bhavam, isn't it? Vidya Maya, Avidya Maya, right? So, when Brahman is with Vidya Maya, that is called Ishvara. When Brahman is with Vidya Maya, it is called Ishvara. Right? So, what that means is, even though Brahman is with Maya, his Ishvara Bhavam, or he does not lose his Swarupa Bodham, awareness, he doesn't lose it. That awareness inside that who he is, he doesn't lose it like we lost it. For us, it was Avidya Maya. Avidya Maya caught us. So even though Brahma Chaitanyam has come in contact with Maya, but because it is Vidya Maya, Swarupa Bodham of the self knowledge of the self, self-realized state, he hasn't lost it. They are always in that state, right? So, so even though they have joined Maya, they have not lost the Swarupa Bodham. That means they still know who they are, Sachidananda Brahmam. Nothing has happened. And this is what is called Svata Siddha Jnana Swarupam. The jnanam, what is present within them, which is not affected by Maya. That state, right? So, Shuddha Bodham. Svata Siddha Jnana Swarupam. So, so this Shuddha Bodham, pure consciousness, there is nothing to cover it. Because Avidya Maya means coverage, happened to all of us, right? So therefore he remains purely in the state of awareness, consciousness, right? It has in Svata Siddha Jnana Swarupam. Sridhara Swami puts that very strongly. Svata Siddha Jnana Swarupam. He says, what that means is, even though it has made contact with Maya, it has not affected him. Sachidananda Brahman, even though it has made contact with Maya, the Maya has not had any impact on him. Whereas when Sachidananda Brahma makes contact with Avidya Maya, we get this Jiva Bhava. We became Jivas. That means we have a gross body, subtle body, and then the ego, everything, and identification with the body, and also we lost our spiritual identity. This is all due to Avidya Maya. Vidya Maya means that Ishvara form. This is why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna is defining Ishvara. Ishvara, Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtani, Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarudhani Mavaya Tameva Sharanam Gacha. That Ishvara you take shelter. That means Sachidananda Brahman, Prasannit Vidya Maya, is Ishwara. And it is Ishwara you take shelter, Krishna says. So, so even though Sachidananda Brahman is in contact with Maya, the Swarupa Avabhautam of who he is has not been affected. Even though touched by Maya, but because it is Vidya Maya, and because he is Ishwara, as a controller, Ishwara. And you can see that the same thing used very specifically, Brahma Samhita also, Ishwara, Paramakrishna, Sachidananda Vigraha. So it is all Ishwara, we should understand what Ishwara means first of all. Ishwara means, English translation you will say is the controller, that's the way we put it. But how this Ishwara concept has come? Ishwara concept is coming from this, that Sachidananda Brahma Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, Bodham. You remember Satya, Chitta, Anandam, out of that Chitta. Then Chitta is in contact, Chitta is pure consciousness, Bodham, awareness inside all of us, what is present. That pure consciousness or awareness, when that is in contact with the Vidya Maya, Ishwara comes from that. Yeah. So, so Vidya Maya as the Upadhi, so Vidya Maya is Upadhi, in that case, his Swarupa Avabhautam is not covered, unlike us. It's not covered, right? Why? Because Vidya is not against knowledge. Vidya is not against knowledge, Jnanam, right? So, our Upadhi is Avidya. That is our problem. Our Upadhi is Avidya. So, we are also same Sachidananda Brahma Chaitanyam. We are made of the same Paramatma Chaitanyam. We are also made of. But our Upadhi is Avidya. Therefore, Avidya's problem is Avidya covers the knowledge. Vidya doesn't cover the knowledge. This is the difference between all incarnations and Krishna, Shiva and the Jiva. The Jiva is controlled by Avidya. Avidya covers the knowledge. Even though both of us are made from the same Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidanandam, same Chit Shakti, in their case, Krishna's case, or Shiva's case, or Ramchandra's case, or Sri Parvati's case, they are not covered by Avidya, they are covered by Vidya. So Vidya is not against knowledge. So therefore they didn't lose that Sachidanandam state. They remain in the Sachidanandam state throughout. In our case, because we are covered by Avidya, we have lost the knowledge of who we are. That is how it happened. So, due to that, we have forgotten that we are Sachidananda. Now somebody asks us, who are we? We say we are this body and we give some name and form in identification with this body, which is all Avidya only. But we don't think like that when we give it our... We write in our CV, we write in the passport, and we write everywhere, this is my identity, right? So, that means, due to that, what happened? We also became a personality, or an individual. And we have accepted this body as our Swarupam, as our identity. And due to that, personality had come. So, therefore, with that, what happened? Birth and death started. Different bodies, one after the other, right? So, whereas this Svatasiddha Jnanam, what Sridhara Swami is mentioning there, what is present in Lord Shiva and Krishna, they don't have this material existence like we have. It is only because of the Savidya we have material existence. And that is the difference between the Shiva's position and our position. We have our Swarupam, we lost it, right? Due to Avidya. Swarupa Jnanam, we lost it due to Avidya. And that is Jiva's weakness. Paradhinata, it is called. Paradhinata means it's helpless situation. The Jiva got trapped in this Avidya, and due to that, he has lost his Swarupa Jnanam. Or he lost. This is how we lost who we are. It is very strange, isn't it? When somebody asks us who we are, We have to give an answer knowing very well that we are not that. This is our present situation. Avidya inside is that's the way avidya works, right? So that Sodasiddha Swarupam, that remains in them fully. And whenever creation, maintenance and dissolution has to happen, at that time, and only when that, at that time, that Sachidananda Brahman, from him, for the sake of creation, maintenance and dissolution, Rajogunam comes as Brahma, Sattugunam comes as Vishnu, and Tamogunam comes as Shiva. This is how these three forms comes. Whenever creation, maintenance and dissolution is required at that time, Rajogunam comes in the form of Brahma, Sattugunam comes in the form of Vishnu, and Tamogunam comes in the form of Shiva. In this way, based on these three modes of nature, we call them as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. But actually, the source of all these three are Sachidananda Brahma. Right? Look at the next verse. He says the reason that they are not different. That is the next verse. Tum Brahma Paramam Guhyam Sada Sadbhava Bhavana Nana Shakti Virabhadam Tum Alpa Jagadishwara. All the words there, all the glorifications, is what they would have normally used for Krishna. The same thing they have used for Shiva here in this. Same Buddha. Tum, you are the soul of everyone. You are Jagadishwara. And Sadasad, he says here, you are responsible for all the Devadas and the Tiryak forms. And this world is not different from you. And Atma Tum Nana Shakti Bi Jagad Abhada Tasmad Ishwaraja. And you are the soul of everyone. And you, with your own different energies, potencies, you are this world. You are not different from this world. Nana Shakti Abhadam Stum Alma Jagadishwara. And therefore, you are the supreme person, supreme truth. You are the supreme truth, right? So, that is what he is saying here. He says that Tum Brahma Paramam Gukhyam Sadasad Bhava Bhavana Nana Shaktibi Rabhadas Tum Alma Jagadishwara. Right? You yourself is not different from the Absolute Truth. Akhanda Sachidananda Sanadana Brahmam. Right? Absolute Truth. And you are responsible for all the different types of living entities. That means Devadas, human species, Tiryaks, birds and all that. You are responsible for that. A jiva, according to its karma vasana, he is given the a particular type of body according to its karma vasana. So, therefore, you are providing that. And therefore, you are Jagadishwara, who is giving the results of all karma. Karma bhala dhadava, one who gives the results of karma. So, jiva, according to its karma bhalam, whatever karma it has done in the past, it will get in one of these category, either in the devata form, or human form, or animals form, birds form, right? And you give that to them, right? And this is conveying that thing, what Bhagavad Gita is saying. How does that transformation happens? Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha, madhye tishtandi rajasa, jaganya gunavrittistho adho gacchandi tamasa. So this movement of the jiva from the higher level to the lower level, urdvam gacchandi sattva, when sattvagunam increases in a jiva, jiva becomes a devata. When rajogunam becomes strong in a jiva, he becomes a human being. When tamogunam becomes stronger, he adho gacchandi tamasa. He goes into the lower species. So Jiva has this movement because of the three modes of nature. So due to Sattvagunam, he has got good vasanas inside. So due to that, he will engage in punya karma, pious activities. And punya karma, the tendency comes from Sattvagunam inside. So that punya vasana has built up inside a lot. Sattvigam, they are called punyavasanas or sattvagunam, strongly in them. They in course of time becomes devadas, according to that. And due to rajogunam, that means we have executed karma with full of rajogunam in them. Those who have done that, they have done a lot of karma in previous lives. And due to that, they have a lot of rajogunam. But at the same time, they have done some punya karma also with that. Right? So, in this way, punyam and pavam mixed very much. Lot of punya karma they have done, but lot of pava karma also done. Pava karma means karma done for sense gratification and for with ahanda and mamada, those things. Right? So, in this way, if you have done this mixture of both, and who have collected some sattvagunam and a lot of rajogunam, they are the counts who comes as human beings. So, you know why, so how we got this body then? Through rajogunam, combination of sattvagunam and rajogunam. There is some sattvagunam, and there is a lot of rajogunam also. And when you have that, we get a body of human being. Right, so so basically, what he's saying is that increased sattvagunam will lead into devadas form, and you take birth in the heavenly planets, and they are given devatvam, devada form they are given, whereas sinful activities, pious activities, both you have performed and you have collected both pavam and punyam, they are given human form. But you have performed a lot of punyam, pious activities. In the middle you have done a lot of pavam also. In that say, that is called mishra karmam, isn't it? So both punya karmam, pava karmam, both you have done in that case. You will have to come back as a human form again. And this is the most of the situation with most of us, isn't it? You go to the Pitriyanam and you come back again in another human form. And that is what he's saying here. Deva form gets to only those who have performed punya karma, right? In the same, only who performed punya karma, pious activities, they get devada form. In the same way, only if you have done pavakarmam throughout life, they have to go down. That is towards the tamogunam. Jaganya gunavrittisto atho gacchanti tamasa. Krishna is saying that. So, purely when you have done pious punya karmam, they go into deva body, their body, devada's body. Only if you have done pavakarmam, you go into the lower species, birds, animals, trees, plants, all those things. And those who have done mixture of both, they come to the human form. In this way, for jivas, these three options are there, uttamam, madhyamam, adhamam, right? According to their karmam. And therefore, one who does that is karma bharadadava, one who gives the results of that, and you are that, says to Lord Shiva. To Lord Shiva, they are saying, you are that. Right? So, maya parinamam, which means, we are all maya parinamam, isn't it? Sarva nama rupam are maya parinamam, it is. So, we all have to be bound in the Maya. And you are present in all of us as jivas in this Maya. So practically he is saying here that Nana Shaktibi Rabhada Tvam Alma Jagadishwara, right? Due to the three modes of nature, you are present in everybody in different names and forms, Namarupam, right? You have to understand this because in Maya, your presence is already there. That is how Maya starts changing. Three modes of nature, the Maya starts changing because Brahman has entered into Maya. So, due to the Maya Shakti, which is the three modes of nature, they transformed into these living entities in the form what we perceive in this world, whether it is moving or non-moving, both of them, right? You are present, you are present. And because if you are presence only, we feel that they all exist. This existence feeling is coming from that, right? So, absolute truth, which does not go through any changes, the very definition what Krishna gives in the Nasado Vidyadevahu, that definition, then it should not change at any time, under any circumstances. It should remain as it is. And that feeling, what we get, right, when we see things, although they are all destined to get destroyed one day, everything in this world is going to get destroyed one day. We know that it will get destroyed. Nothing will stay as it is. But when we look at them, we feel that they will exist. They will stay. They will stay. This is why we don't cry as long as somebody is living. Only when he dies we cry. When we are living, we don't cry. We think, oh, he's there. Family is there. Everybody is there. We don't cry. Because some feeling inside us that they are all permanent. Where is that feeling coming from? In reality now, if you look at it, and if you look at the world generally, you know everybody will die, right? Everybody will die and go. But it is not affecting us in our daily life. We feel that, oh, everybody will be here. All this family, friends, everybody will be there all the time. Suddenly one drops away from that, and then we cry for a few days, and then you forget that again, and you will come back to the old state again. Why is it like this? It is strange, isn't it? Doesn't it look strange? Then we don't lament about anyone when they are living. We say, oh, everything will be alright, they will be there. Some feeling in us, because if we get to realize that they're going to die, our suffering will be so much. So Krishna has put this in such a way, through Maya, that Maya gives us the feeling, oh, they're all safe, they will be there for always. I'll be there for you when you are in trouble, we say. And so who is giving guarantee to whom? One who is dying, he is giving guarantee to somebody else who is also dying, that I'll be there for you when you need me. So all these illusions in us, right? It has been created by Maya. So creating that feeling inside us, everything is fine, everything is safe in this world. So that is created by the Sachidanandam, what is present in the creation, right? So in this way, under the different energies of Maya, transformation of the three modes of nature, many things in this world which are not permanent, but giving reality to that, you are present in them. When you buy things, you are thinking that you will have it for a long period of time. Because you feel that when you buy a big house or you buy a car, you feel that, oh, it's going to be there for quite a long time, we say, think like that. So giving that feeling in us, right? And that is because of the presence of Sachidanandam in that, right? Similarly, he says here, Tvam Alma, he says there. That means, living entities where there is life in them, you are present in that as Antaryami or Pratyagatma Chaitanyam. And in this way, both in the conscious and the unconscious world, Chetana, Achetana. Chetana means one just got consciousness, and Achetana means all the other things, which is matter, right? And therefore, because they are both your manifestation, you are Jagadishwara. That's what it is saying here. Nana Shaktivir Abhadam Tvam Alma Jagadishwara. Therefore, you are Jagadishwara. So, that means you are present within both of them, and you are controlling them all the time. So, every Namarubam Vastu, you are present in that as their controller, and you control their life in this world. Then, at the same time, you are within them, in their heart as the Antaryami, as Niyamaka or Ishwara, you are present. In this way, all Characharam, Chetanam, Achetanam, all living entities, both conscious and not conscious, throughout the creation, it is your Swarupam who is present. So all these verses, if you look, you can see, normally it is spoken for Krishna, it's spoken for Shiva here. You are present within them as Antaryami, as the Atma, you are as the cause of everything, Karana Rupam. And due to your presence, all of them are your Swarupam only, because of your presence in them. But we are Ajnanis, isn't it? No knowledge within us, Avidya is inside us. We, when we look at things, we only see the Namam Rupam. Only Nama Rupam we see there, right? But Krishna is present in us as Antaryami, right? So when Shastram is telling us, and the spiritual master Guru is also telling us, we understand in this way that Krishna is present inside us. Otherwise, we haven't got any way of knowing it, only through Shastram, right? So, otherwise what we know about anyone is only Namarupam. When we see a person, no matter who it is, we only know that person in the form of name and form. We don't know that person as manifestation of Krishna or manifestation of Shiva. In that way we cannot know him. But only through Shastram and the Guru we get to know that Krishna is present in him. Krishna is present. Krishna, when you say Krishna Shiva, all it means the Chaitanyam, Bodham, is present in that person, right? So, in all of them, he is present as the Karanam, cause of everything. And the reason for the presence of Krishna within the heart is Antaryami, right? And that is why it's called Paramakaranatvam, ultimate cause of all these things. In this way, Paramakaranatvam, the same thing, what that prayer, Sarvakarana Karanam, the same meaning, Paramakaranatvam, ultimate cause, right? He remains like that as the Niyamaka. Niyamaka means he sets the rules. And according to that only we can operate, right? So, Karyam Karanam, two things, right? Karyam depends on Karanam. So, Karyam means effect. Karanam means cause. So, anything that existing, it depends on the cause behind it, right? Similarly, living entities also, because he is present, he is the cause, as Pratyagatma Chaitanyam, Antaryami Chaitanyam inside, he remains here as Antaryami, and he controls this jiva at all instances, giving him the results of his karma, karma bhaladadava. In this way, he is present with us throughout, from beginning to end. Antaryami inside is the karma bhaladadava. He is the one who is, just because we are working, we don't need to get the result, isn't it? The result has to, we are looking for the results. We think it all happens automatically, but it is not so. That's what Bhagavad Gita is saying. Karma phaladadava. So for an ordinary person who has no connection with Krishna, his only connection with Krishna for everybody is through this karma. It is through karma he has some connection with Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna has no connection with ordinary people. Ordinary people means one who is not interested in Krishna consciousness, such people. They're only looking at this way, I'm working hard, I have to get the result. Krishna decides what he should get and he gets it. And that connection is always there. Karma phaladadava. In this way, Krishna is present in all living entities because of this problem. Right? And so, from the absolute platform, you can say that the whole creation, because of this, is the Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna's Swarupam, from the Paramarthika Drishti. From the absolute platform, it is spoken that way. Right? So, but from Vavaharigam level, this is from the absolute platform, right? From the world of transactions, Vavaharam, Vavaharigam Drishti, that Bhagavad Sanidhyam, Krishna's presence in all of us, is because of Karanatvam. Karanatvam means it is His presence that is helping this to happen, right? In other words, for every jiva in this world, for them to exist, this Antaryami is required there. And that is Ishvara. Antaryami inside is Ishvara. And that is what Krishna is saying there, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Sarobhavena Bharata. Right? So, He is present inside all of us as our Swarupam, Antaryami. And He is also the Niyamaka. Niyamaka means one who sets the rules. How that Jiva should continue. So, these two ways of looking at it, from the absolute platform, and from the relative platform, Paramarthika Drishti and Vyavaharika Drishti, right? In this way, there are two things, right? So, Jnani, realized souls, their vision is Paramarthika Drishti. That's from there they see things, right? So, Jnani knows means that he is conscious that Antaryami inside, he is experiencing the presence of Antaryami inside, right? And similarly, he is also able to see Antaryami is present, who is inside, in everything else, outside also. And he is experiencing it, not just knowing it, he is experiencing it, right? So, he knows that anything in this world is looking real or feeling real to us, to him, is only because of Antaryami's presence there and himself also. So, Jnani has recognized that, and that is called Paramarthika Drishti. We will discuss this in detail when we come to Ekadasham, when Krishna talks to Uddhava about it. Right? So, Jnani has recognized that the presence of anything, when he feels it is real, he knows that Antaryami, he is experiencing the presence of Antaryami, Paramatma Chaitanyam in there. So Jnani has recognized that, right? And Jnani deals with the world in such a way. There are so many things to understand of a realized soul's activities, comparison with the conditioned jiva's activities. Krishna threadbare analyzes it in the Ekadasha Skandam and says how a jnani is different, a realized soul is different from a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul sees everything in one way. Realized soul thinks in a completely different way. Totally unaffected by everything what the conditioned soul is thinking about it. Right? And we have examples of that in the Bhagavadam. Right? I'll give you one example. We'll talk more about it later. Bharata. Bharata Yogeshwara. Or Jadabharata. Right? Jadabharata, his father had another wife and he had children from them. And those children, they thought that Jadabharata is daft, useless. He's not able to do any work. And he just sits there like this whole day. Jadam he was, isn't it? Jadam. Nature, Jadam is like that. Dull and dead matter like thing he was. So what they thought was, they thought, we will use him, he can't do any work anyway. So let him do the watchman's job in the field. They were growing a lot of food. And in the night, these varaham, the boars, will come from the forest and they will eat all that. So they told him, you stay here. And they built a small hut for him to stay. You know, a temporary hut in the village like they do. And they told him, you sit there. And they gave him a lamp and some fire to get rid of them from there. He said he sat there. He didn't do anything. He was supposed to look after the boars coming and eating the grains and everything. But he won't do anything. He was sitting like that, right? So when this was going on, they thought that we have to feed him also. It's just expensive to feed the person. So what did they give him? They gave him all the rubbish. That means, after feeding the cow, whatever that was left behind, like the uradal remnants and vegetables which were not very pleasant to eat, which will not be eaten, completely destroyed, fully destroyed, which is ready for to be thrown away by us. Such food was fed to him. Yeah, water that was used for washing the grains was given to him to drink. And completely contaminated and decomposed food of uradal and many other things mentioned there was fed to him to eat. When he ate that, you look at Bhagavatam saying, Amardamudduharam bhavadi, he says. When he was eating, it was like nectar for him. In other words, what Bhagavatam is saying is that he was not experiencing the taste at all. Like we do. We would have complained straight away. Even the little bit salt absent is enough for us. We will go berserk. You see, it didn't happen there. He ate it as though he was taking nectar for him. And there it is, you can see that a realized soul, how he is not affected by the senses. Senses have no influence on him anymore, like we have. We are affected by the senses, is it not? We say prasadam and all that, but if prasadam is not up to the standard, our nature will change. We will be a different, we will become more Durga Devi than Kali form we will become. So that's a different, that's because our senses will react straight away. Why is it like this? We'll complain that. Jalabharata ate them very happily, never complained one word. And he didn't bother to look after the field any time. But when the harvest happened, they received 10 times more output from the field than what they normally were getting. That is jnani. That is jnani. When Krishna says all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a few verses, one after the other, isn't it? Jalabharata was a jnani. Jnani twalpaiva me madam, asido sahi utalma mameva utamam gadim. Tesham jnani nitya yukta, ega bhaktar visheshade. Jnani is bhakti, Krishna is saying. Jnani is bhakti. Tesham jnani nitya yukta, ega bhaktar visheshade. Priyo hi jnani no tyartam, aham sacham mama priya. He is close, dear to me, I am dear to him. So realization means this. If it happened, and when you look at it, the ordinary people were thinking, how is he eating all this rubbish? Normally people wouldn't have eaten all that. How is he eating all these things? But for him, he was not affected. Why is he not affected? Because it says here, when he was eating that, it was like amrutam for him. So, these are so many differences like this. Krishna points out this to Uddhava and says to him, Uddhava, realization means body is not affecting him anymore. He knows the body is existing. Body is prarabdham. Bharata Maharshi is already out of it. Bharata Yogeshwara he was, isn't it? And he has become free from the body already. This is the last birth. This Jarabharata's birth was the last one. That's the third birth, isn't it? First Bharata Chakravarti, Emperor Bharata, and then the deer, and now the last birth. So in the last birth, this is how he behaved. means by now the connection with the body is over, but body is still there, it hasn't gone. That prarabdham is keeping it back. So while in that state, how he behaved, if you look at it, you can see how a realized soul is different from a conditioned soul. So when we move, talk about realized state, you have, this is the only way you can understand it. The same thing with Rishabhadev also. You see how Rishabhadev walked around in this world. So these are the examples of that. Yeah. So, so jnanis recognize that because they are in a different state of consciousness. So Bharata Yogeshwara, when he is seeing the world, he is not seeing it like the way we are seeing. So we are personalities. We have strong identification with the body, right? And in us, Krishna is present inside as Santaryami, giving us the results of our activities as Ishvara. These roles don't apply to jnani. There is no ahankaram inside anymore for a jnani. It's gone. So therefore, the jivabhavam has left him already. There is only Antaryami inside. And Antaryami, whom will he give the results of the karma? Antaryami has no karma anymore. So therefore, Jadabharata has no karma either. Jadabharata had no karma. Karma bhavam is in jiva, it is there. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And ahanda mamada, all these things are there in the jiva. Ahanda mamada, kartrutva, bhoktrutva, these four things. These are present in the jiva. That four things have completely left him. So you can imagine his state of consciousness. Not totally unaffected by anything what's going on in this world. He knew hunger will be there for him also. But that hunger is for the body. So for which he was eating it. And while food was going in, the taste was not bothering him. It was only for the sake of the body he was eating. That means he has already moved away from the body. But staying within the body at the same time. So. So, in our case, it is different. Why? Because within us, this strong relationship is there through karmam between Krishna and us. Krishna is there, we are doing the karmam, and Jadabharata doesn't have all such things. There is no karmam in him. We have to do karmam, and when we do karmam, we will be expecting the result, and Krishna decides the result, what we should get. And he gives it to us accordingly. So this relationship with Antaryami and the jiva exists in all the living entities. But in jnani's case, that doesn't exist, right? So this is how Ishvara is present in us. As Antaryami. Ishvara means this relationship, karma bharadadava, giving the results of karma. That is what is Ishvara's role, right? So, this is how in all living entities he is present, plus he is present in all the creation itself. And in all other objects which are not doing karma, like dead objects, all of them, we can only recognize his presence through karana swarupam. That means that he gives them the sat aspect, sat realization due to his presence in them. And in that way, he also, their controller in the sense that he will decide when that particular form has to disappear on its own due course of time, right? So for ajnani, so these two categories, right? Jnani, ajnani. Bharata Yogeshwara, Rishabhadev, they are all in the jnani category. And ajnani category is always big. Most of us are in that state, right? So, for Ajnani, he is Ishvara. It is for Ajnani, he is Ishvara. For Jnani, there is no Ishvara. Ishvara is for the Ajnani, right? And he is present within him, us as the Ishvara, like Krishna is saying, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarva Bhavena Bharata, Tal Prasadal Param Shandim, Sthanam Prapsasi, Shashwadam. That Bhagavad Gita verse, right? So, Ajnani is concerned, he is present inside us, all us, and then he is present in the whole creation. And Ajnani understand this from Guru and from the Shastra. A jnani understand this. Jnani doesn't need to understand anymore. Jnani is already free from this, right? So difference between a jnani and a jnani is, jnani knows who he is. In other words, he knows Antaryami inside is his Swarupam. Swasvarupam, Atma Swarupam, which is Sachidananda Atma, Antaryami, that is his Swarupam. So he is experiencing that all the time. Jnani, right? And he knows that it is that Vastu inside, Antaryami inside, is the foundation of this whole creation. And all the living entities are also his manifestation. All this, like the same thing, the first verse, Sarvabhudeshya Pashyat Bhagavad Bhav, that has come to him, right? So, and he also recognized that the all other creation in this world, their existence, which we experience, we Ajnani experiences through the senses, he sees that in its pure form. We see the Maya side of it. Any object, if you take, it has got Asti Bhadi Priyam Namam Rubam, isn't it? So Jnani sees the Asti Bhadi Priyam. The Ajnani sees Namam Rubam. This is the difference. This is the difference. And that is why it says here, Tom Alma Jagadishwara. He's saying, that is what it is meant by this statement. Tom Alma Jagadishwara means that. So, by anything what you take in this world, bringing them together, anything for that matter, a building or for a car or anything, whatever you make it together, putting together something, things, to put them together and keeping them together, that is the power of Niyamakam. Niyamakam means that when we manufacture something, or when we create something, we combine certain things together, is it not? For that to come into operations, right? Why do they stay together and do the thing? That is called Niyamaka Shakti. That able to do that, yeah? Let it be anything, doesn't matter what it is. Different parts of that object, right? If you bring them together, and able to keep that as one part, one object as together, is because of Krishna's presence in them. Krishna's presence in them. You may wonder why it is so. It is no explanation for that. That we know that how to put things together, but what is that holding them together? Everything in this world, we manufacture a car or an airplane or a ship or a building or anything for that matter. When you do, you are making certain assumptions that if we put it together like this, it will work like that. But that force that is keeping them all together when we do things like that, that is because of the presence of Sachidanandam in there, right? And that is what is called Ishvara. Ishvara, right? So, and Niyamaka, one who sets these rules that they should stay together, right? So, this is also called Upadana Karanam in another form, right? So, Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam. There are two things, and both of them are Krishna himself, right? So it gets its reality from Krishna because of Krishna's presence in them, and this feeling that it will exist like this without any changes And it is not dependent on anything. It has its own existence. And that perception, what we get from that, or feeling, what we get from that, it's due to Krishna's presence in them. So any object, if you take anything, when we see them all together, the niyamakatvam in Krishna, or existence of its reality, both are coming from Paramatma Chaitanya, present in that. Yeah. Look at the next verse. Earlier he said Sodasiddha Jnanam, of the nature of the soul was spoken. Sodasiddham. It is there inherent in that. That is Sodasiddham. Inherent in there. After saying that, Jagadrup, this is called in Shastram, they call it as Bhanam. Bhanam means how the soul works in this creation in different forms. That is called Bhanam. Bhanam is the word in the Shastram, right? So, Sodasiddha Jnanam is one of the aspects of the soul. Sodasiddha Jnanam. Sodasiddham, I have defined it, what it is. It is inherent in that, in the soul. Means pure knowledge, existence, bodham, and that eternal feeling. These are all present in the soul, and that you cannot take it out from the soul. The feeling of eternity, the feeling of awareness, bodham, existence, and feeling of bliss. All these three are present in the soul eternally. It cannot be taken out. It is there in that. So that is one of the and in that eternal blissful full of knowledge, isn't it? And that full of knowledge is Sotasiddham, it is. Atma has that in its own. So after saying that, the next bhanam, this is one bhanam. The other bhanam is that in the form of this creation, how that soul is present in the world. That is the next verse. Tum shabdhayo nirjagada adiralma pranendriya drivya guna subhava kalakradu satyamrudam jadharmam toyacharam yatrudam anandi. Tum shabdhayo nirjagada adiralma pranendriya drivya guna subhava kalakradu satyamrudam jadharmam toyacharam yatrudam anandi. He says, Mahatatvam, pranan, senses, and all the elements, all of them, their cause is the three modes of nature. And the three kinds of ahankaram. So, Tatviya ahankaram, Rajasa ahankaram, Tamasa ahankaram. It's all of that, it's you. Svabhava kala kradusatyam kradanja dharmam. Similarly, svabhavam, kalam, sangalpam, satyam, kradam, dharmam, it's all you. Trivat yadaksharam atvai amanandi. Anything that has come from the three modes of nature, Trigunam, they are also dependent on you. Mahatma says like that. So, therefore, Akaram, Ukaram, Makaram, Om, which is Pranavam, they consider as your form. So, let's understand that, what it's saying. Initially, first nature of the soul is Sattva-Chitta-Anandam, Sachidanandam, right? And because Sachidanandam is that Chit-Shakti, which is knowledge, Bodham, awareness, then in the form of this world, how he is present, right? So, in terms of the world, it is spoken now, right? It says sound. Sound is Vedam. Vedam is sound. Basically, Vedam is sound. Vedam is not book. That's a misunderstanding in people, right? The Vedam is all the hymns that matters to us. But actually, Vedam is the sound part of it. Shabda Brahmam it is. Vedam is Shabda Brahmam. Shabda Brahma means the stress is on the sound vibration that comes from the hymns. So that's why it's so important to recite the hymns in the proper annotations, what they call it, I think, the way it is being spoken, right? It is important. So that's why anyone and everyone shouldn't study Veda. It is not only those who have been trained in the proper way, by the proper, with the proper sources, they should practice reciting the Veda. Otherwise, you will recite them in the wrong way. And that can create problems if you recite them in the wrong way. Like in the story, what happened with Toshtava and Vishwarupa, right? So from there itself you can see, Vedam is Shabdam. Shabdam is more important, the sound part of it is more important than the what is written. People generally think everything, if it is written down, and if it is translated and digitalized, everything is safe. Not Vedam. Look at the ignorance in us, when you can look at it yourself. They say that Max Muller translated Rigveda. They're feeling so happy about it. What happened after he translated? Nothing happened. It's lying there as it is. Oh, he has translated something and it's lying there. But what happened? What benefit has anybody got from that? You won't get anything from that, because you have not understood what Veda means. Veda is that sound form of what the rishis have given us, right? So it has to remain in the sound form. Obviously, for memory purposes, they wrote it down later on, and when the printing came into existence, right? And then we thought, if we translate into English, everything will be perfect then. Start a translation also. So if you read a translation and if you think you have understood the Vedas, there is no more foolish thing than that. So this is what he's saying here, that the nature of the Vedam is sound, Shabdam, right? And Shabdam is Shabda Brahmam, this address is Shabda Brahmam, isn't it? Shabda Brahmam is mentioned that. And therefore, Sodasiddha Jnanam is present in him. And Vedam is the mine of the knowledge, mine of knowledge, right? And that Vedam has come from Shabda Brahmam. It was not delivered in the form of writing, it was delivered through the form of sound. Vedam was delivered to this world through the rishis in the sound form, in the sound form. So the source, Shabda Brahmam, is full of knowledge, and from that came Vedam in the Shabda Brahmam form, from that. And Vedam, because of the this bodham, awareness, is present in you, who is pure Shuddha Sachidanandam, pure Sachidanandam. And when that awareness is inside, that you are pure Sachidanandam, Shuddha Sachidanandam, when that awareness is there, Swarupa Bodham will be there without any covering. Swarupava Bodham. Swarupava Bodham means that who we are. I don't know whether we don't think all these things, because we don't have time also, we are too busy, isn't it, life. So naturally, what he's saying is that the avidya is so deep inside us that we don't know who we are, and we are wandering around in this world doing different things, making plans for the future, trying to be happy here, trying to establish here, never worrying about what will happen after death. But Krishna didn't send us here for this, to do what we are doing now. Krishna is saying to us that the only reason I've given him the human form is for self-realization. Brahmava Logadishanam Udamava Deva. In the Ekadasham you can see he's saying this. This Brahmava Loka Dishana, that only human being has got. He didn't expect that from the birds, animals, plants, trees and all that. But human body, Krishna is saying, I've given for this reason. And if we don't do that, Brahmava Loka Dishana, I don't think Krishna will be happy about that. Everything else you may be doing here, but But Brahmava Loka Dishana, inquiry of the self, who we are, and try to realize the truth before we leave this body. This opportunity Krishna has given in the human body. This opportunity. He's given us the opportunity for that. And if it's not utilized for that purpose, Krishna says, your life is just another memory. It's not anymore valid anymore, right? So, so that's the way Krishna sees human life, yeah. And because it is like this, that this Bodham, who he is present in Krishna and Shiva, all that, he is expecting us also to have that same thing. And in that state, you know everything. You don't need to do any more collect information or knowledge from another source. Realize the state means you know everything, right? So, knowledge comes from bodham. From awareness comes knowledge. That's the way it is. From awareness comes knowledge. So, and knowledge, the root of that is coming from Vedam. Vedam is knowledge. The word itself is obvious, isn't it? Vedam means to know, knowledge. Knowledge, right? So, in that way, you released this knowledge to Lord Brahma in his heart, like Chadashlogi Bhagavatam. You revealed that knowledge to Lord Brahma in his heart, like Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, right? You could do that. Why? Because you on your own has got that knowledge in full all the time. You have not fallen away from the state like we are all fallen. Paramatma Andaryami has not fallen. Therefore, Andaryami was able to reveal that knowledge to Brahma within the heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya. Is it not? So you see how the knowledge was given to Brahma. From inside he gave it, not from outside. We are all looking for knowledge outside. Go to college, go to university, go to this place, that place, everywhere to get knowledge. But actual knowledge has to be delivered from inside, not from outside. Outside you cannot do it. It has to be done from inside. Andaryami has to, like he did it to Brahma, Lord Brahma, isn't it? Tene Brahma Hridaye, Hridaye, Avigyave, Mukhyandiyal Suraya. So, because of that, Vedam was revealed in that way, because you got it, that knowledge, as your very self, that knowledge. Knowledge is, the problem is that the word knowledge doesn't actually convey the word jnanam properly. This is the difficulty. Jnanam is the right word. Jnanam means, like you can see in the Bhagavatam, everywhere they use the word jnanam, isn't it? Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yet jnanam advayam, he says. Advayat jnanam it is. So that jnanam, and if you just say that it is knowledge, immediately you will start thinking it is something to be collected from another book. By reading the book, you collect the, you get the knowledge. That's the way we think about knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is always like that. Because we are used to receiving it from outside. Whereas this is not actually knowledge, it is actually jnanam. Advaita jnanam it is. And that jnanam is revealed to him by the Andaryami from inside. That is how the transmission happens. So, so even that Sachidananda Brahman, that awareness, due to that, his Surupa Bodham, who he is not covered. He always knows who he is. It's a state of consciousness. It's very difficult to explain more than that through words, right? And in that awareness, Bodham, he will know everything what is going on when he is in that state and what is happening within the creation, all over in everyone's heart, everything is known to him. In that state of consciousness, right? You can see, therefore, in Sri Shuka Brahmarshi's case, it's spoken in that way. It's, you know, Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimanadosmi. Sarvabhuda Hridayam. Imagine, when we are speaking, Shuka Brahmarshi is inside knowing what is being spoken about him. And you are listening, and Shuka Brahmarshi inside you also knows what you are understanding from that. Yeah? So that is Sarvabhuta Hridayatvam, isn't it? Sarvabhuta Hridayam. In everyone who is present, like Krishna is present in everyone. That Antaryami state, that is what it is. Antaryami is like that, isn't it? So that is called Sarvajnatvam. So Sarvajnatvam means knowing. Normally when we say Sarvajnatvam, we will say, oh, he knows past, present and the future. Now you know past, present and the future. So you tell me what is going to happen after 50 years or 100 years. From that's how we ask. No, that's not actually what it means. It means this, that he is able to become one with the pure consciousness, Sachidananda Brahman. And due to that means he is conscious of everything what is happening inside that Brahman, in the Brahman, right? So who is the cause? Shuddha Sachidanandam Paramatma is the cause of everything, or in other words, you become that, Paramatma Swarupam. You become Sachidananda Brahman. That's the way to know everything. You becoming the Sachidananda Brahman. So Bhagavan or Krishna is in the Paramatma Swarupam within us, and the whole creation is also Paramatma Swarupam, and that Paramatma Swarupam is Krishna Swarupam or Shiva Swarupam. Paramatma Swarupam means that there is nothing Paramatma is not aware of. Bodham is present everywhere, right? So everything in this creation is Paramatma, in reality is Paramatma Swarupam. But due to presence of Maya, from which is bringing this separation in us, that we are separated from the Paramatma Swarupam, and in the form of Namarupam, this creation is projected in front of us. It's a projection it is. Namarupam is a projection of Maya in front of us, right? So, so if we succeed in removing that covering of Maya from us, we will also experience this world as Paramatma Swarupam. Right? So, when we say that Krishna is Sachidananda Swarupam, and the whole creation is Sachidanandam, that means this Sachidananda Swarupam means that Swarupa Bodham, who he is, it is Swata Siddham, inherently in Krishna, inherently it is present in Shiva also. That is what this verse is saying here, right? So due to that Swarupa Bodham, there is nothing that he does not know. And because everything is Paramatma Swarupam, also he is the cause of Vedam. Vedam is also coming from that same source, and therefore in Shastram they will call it a Shabda Yoni. Shabda Yoni, right? So therefore Swata Siddham, inherent Sachidananda Swarupam, and so the Sachidananda Brahmam, that awareness Bodham, is Swata Siddham. Swata Siddham means inherently present in him, and only one who has that Bodham of this awareness of his identity, who he is, only from such a source Vedam can come. Vedam cannot come from a conditioned soul. Vedam, the source of Vedam has to be in this state. In this state. So, therefore, he is Sarvajnatvam. All these things, what is Tvam Shabda Yoni Jagadadiralma Prana Indriya Drevya Guna Subhava Kalam Kratu Satyam Radam Chadharmam To Yaksharam Yatruvidam Anandi. All these things can only happen because you have that Swata Siddha Jnanam. It is because of that Swata Siddha Jnanam. I don't know how to translate that better than we can say that it is inherently present in the Brahman. Swata Siddha Jnanam. It has not come from outside. It is there within him, all within the Brahman all the time. Swata Siddha Jnanam. Now it is addressed to Lord Shiva spoken. Because this Swata Siddha Jnanam, inherent Jnanam is present in him, he didn't have to acquire it like we have to acquire, because he was never in Maya in that sense. Because of that, this Jagadrupam, what is spoken here, right? So, Shabda Yoni, So, then it says here that Mahatattva meets you. So, why does it say like that? Because then the transformation started happening in the Maya, isn't it? Mahatattvam comes, Ahamdattvam comes, then Satya Ahangaram, Rajas Ahangaram, Tamas Ahangaram, then different manifestations from that. Mind comes, subtle body comes, senses comes, elements come, and like this, it goes on, right? So, the Moola Padartham, the main, the root of all this is Mahatattvam, and that Mahatattvam, it's you, right? So, when you, saying to Lord Shiva, when you, who is present in the Mahatattvam, when it transforms into Mahatattvam, in that Mahatattvam you are already present there, by giving reality to Mahatattvam, by your presence in that, therefore, Mahatattvam also can be spoken as manifestation of Shiva because of the presence of that. And in the same way, he has spoken about the Ahangaram also, because Ahangaram has come from Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam transformed itself into Ahangaram. That is what it's saying here. You can see Pranendriya Dravya Guna Subhavam, all of that. Pranan, Indriyam, senses, Ahangaram, and you are the Pranan, you are the 5 plus 5 senses. Indriyam means the, what he is referring to, the Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means the subtle body. And Andhakaranam has got, the subtle body has got Satya Ahangaram, Satugunam is the cause of senses. Andhakaranam comes from the Satugunam, and senses are coming from the Rajogunam, and then five elements, they all come from the Tamogunam, which is we discussed in the earlier chapters, right? In this way, the three modes of nature, and which is coming from Ahangaram. Initially, Mahatattvam, Ahangantattvam, Ahamdattvam, Ahangaram comes. Ahangaram breaks up into three, Satya, Rajasa, Tamasam. And from Satyam comes the subtle body, mind, particularly the mind. And Rajasam comes the senses, and the Tamasam comes the elements in that way, right? So, strictly you can say that they are all coming from you, the original source, so you are present in all of them. This is the conclusions, right? And then he said, Kalakradu Satyamrudanjan Dharmam Toy Aksharam Yat Rudamanandi. We will discuss that after a few minutes. Okay. Chedo Dharpanamar Janam Bhamaha Dhavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kaitava Chandrika Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jeevanam Anandam Vadivardhanam Mridivada Purnam Vadaswadhanam Sarvatna Subanambaram Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Nam Nama Gari Bahudani Jasarva Shakti Tatrarpidani Vidasmarni Nagala Eda Drashidava Krabha Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeivami Idrashamiha Janina Anuragaha Tranaravi Shuni Jaina, Taroravi Sahishuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtani Yasadahari, Nathanam Najanam Nasundayim, Kavidam Vajagadishakamai, Mamajan Mani Jan Manishwari, Bhavadad Bhaktira Haidugitwai, Ainanda Tanuja Kingaram, Padidam Ham Shame Bhavambudo, Krubayat of Apada Pangajas, Tidaduli Sadrasham Vichindaya, Nayanam Gala Shodharaya, Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira, Puragair Nijidangada Vabutavanam and Grahane Pavishari Yuga idam Nimeshena, Chachusha, Pravisha idam, Shunya idam Jagat Sarvam, Govinda Virahename Ashlishava Padredam Pinestumam, Adarshanam or Mahadam, Karotua, Yathatalava with the Dadulamero, Valpranana Sunayavana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam, Govinda Govinda. Tvam Shabdayonir Jagadadiralma Pranendriya Dravyaguna Subhava. So, Gunam transformed into Atonam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And we saw there that Mahatattvam is Shiva, it says. Mahatattvam is Shiva. Because as Sachidanandam, Shiva is present in the Mahatattvam. Like we say, Krishna is present in the Maya. In the same way, Brahman is present in the Maya. So Brahman is the Sachidananda, Brahman is the source. And from Sachidananda Brahman, these forms are coming. Shiva's form, Krishna's form, all are Sachidananda Brahman. You can see that in the Bhagavatam in many places. Lord Brahma says, isn't it? Purna Brahma Sanatanam. And so you can see from there that the Ahobhagyam, Ahobhagyam, Nandagopa Vrajaugasam, En Mitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. He says, you are Purna Brahma, he says. Krishna's Brahma glorifies Krishna. You are Purna Brahma and you are Sanatanam. So these forms, Shiva's form, in the same way, like it is mentioned here, that Tum Shabda Yoni Jagadadira, these are all glorifications to the Vedam, in the Vedam. And he mentions here that Mahatattvam is Shiva. And because Mahatattvam is Shiva, Ahangaram is also Shiva. And if Ahangaram is Shiva, then Andhakaranam is also Shiva, because Andhakaranam has come from Satya Ahangaram. And if and similarly, all the indriyam, senses are also Shiva. And similarly, all the elements are also Shiva. Panchabhuta. Then he talks about Swabhavam. Swabhavam means, when the three modes of nature transforms itself, it's called Swabhavam. So, you know that the Gunam, they're called Gunam, isn't it? Trigunam, they're called. Three modes of nature is called Trigunam. The nature of the Gunam is to transform itself all the time, keep changing its form, right? And that is what is called Swabhavam. Swabhavam means three modes of nature changing. It's called Swabhavam. And this Swabhavam happens due to Kala. Gunam, transformation of the three modes of nature, is due to Kala, time. So, when Gunam is there, Gunam, due to influence of time, it gets agitated. So that power which agitates the Gunam, three modes of nature, is called Kalam. And that is also Shiva. That's also Shiva. It says here, Dravya Gunam Subhav, right? When they are in the balanced state and they become separated. Originally there is only one. And then in the Maya, as Maya. Then it becomes three. And then it starts changing. Originally there is only Maya. And then Maya becomes three in the form of Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. And then they start changing their intensity, right? So that is when the modes of nature are changing, that is when Swabhavam comes. The Swabhavam of that particular Gunam comes out at that time. Isn't it? See, Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. When any of those Gunams become prominent, its Swabhavam becomes stronger. When Rajagunam becomes strong, when Rajagunam becomes strong, all living entities act in a different way. When Tamogunam becomes strong, we act in another way. So that changes what is happening in all of us due to change in the modes of nature is called Swabhava. Too subtle to understand it, but you can think about it, you will get some understanding. But this is how it happens, that's what Shastram is saying here. So, this way of transforming ourselves and everyone in this creation, due to this change in the Swabhavam, will be conspicuous, or it will become clear to us that we have one Swabhavam at one time, another Swabhavam another time. Swabhavam is changing all the time, right? So that power, what is behind for this transformation, right? That means this transformation that's happening in every jiva, continuously happening in us, that is what, that power is called Swabhava, is called Swabhava. The cause behind the changes, that is what's happening within us. When three modes comes, that means when Trigunam was created, originally there is only Maya, one power. And that turns into three, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, right? So when it becomes the three, there is already that power for the three to change further from them. That power will be there in that. It has to be there. When it became three, there is a power inside which has made that happen, isn't it? And that same power, in due course of time, allows these three modes of nature to change again. So this changing power is called Swabhava of the Maya. Changing power to change the three modes is called Swabhava. Yeah? So when it becomes three modes, in the all the three modes, Chaitanyam is present, Krishna is present, Brahman is present, right? And so from the absolute platform, if you look at it, the three modes of nature is also Krishna. It's not different from him, because it's him who is driving everything. He's driving Maya first, then he driving Mahatattvam from that. Then from he drives Ahamtattvam from there. The three modes comes then. So all these things is driven by the same original source, which is Krishna. Or he, in this case it's Shiva. Addressed as Shiva, right? So that power to transform itself, Swabhavam, and this capacity, they're all Krishna Swarupam only, Shiva Swarupam only. Here it says like that. So that means, first of all, it spoke about Svatasiddha Jnanam. Svatasiddha Jnanam means the inherent nature of the soul to be conscious, full of knowledge, and never falling away from the position of its realized state, that state of consciousness. That is Svatasiddha Jnanam. After that, it says, it came from that came Jagadrupam. That means this creation came from that. So when creation came, transformations have happened at several stages. In order transformation has to happen, it's explaining here, prana, indriya, dravya, guna, swabhavam, kalam, kradu, satyam, amrutam, cha dharmam. So all these things are nothing but you in different forms. All of them are nothing but Shiva in different forms. Whether it is pranan, whether it is indriyam, whether it is dravyam, whether it is gunam, or whether it's swabhavam, whether it's kalam, kradu, satyam, amrutam, dharmam, they are all you in different forms. We won't understand that fully, because the reason is this, that for us transformation means anything we transform from matter. We are used to only matter transforming, isn't it? We understand only transformation of the matter. Like, you know, we have milk, boiled milk. You put some drops of yogurt in that. Tomorrow morning when you get up, it will be ready as, what do you call the culture, yeah. You put the culture in that, it transforms that. That we know. We'll understand that. But we won't understand this, because there is no culture in this. It's all very abstract for us, because we were not able to relate with it. Like the way we see other things. Things are, milk turns into curd because of the in using the culture in that way. So that's the thing, you see. That's why we are finding it hard to, how does that happen? In our conditioning, we can only see things like that. But we cannot perceive these things, what is spoken here. So what he's saying here is that, Trigunam, the three modes of nature, it has transformed itself into all these different things, what is spoken. And including that power to transform, which is called the Subhavam, they are all you, Shiva. That's not different from you, right? So, when in the three modes of nature, if the presence is there of Shiva's presence is there, automatically it is to be understood that in the power that is transforming that, his presence should be there. Shiva's presence should be there. If Shiva's presence is there in the three modes of nature, the power that is again transforming the three modes of nature, in that also Shiva's presence should be there. That's what he's saying here. So that also, Subhavam also, should be seen as Shiva. Then, so, Siddha. Siddha means perfected person in spiritual life, which is a jnani, generally referred to as jnani. And his vision is absolute vision, proper vision, right? Why? Because he is seeing things completely keeping Maya out. In his vision, Maya has no impact on it. So his vision is so pure from Maya, that means whatever he is perceiving, experiencing, realizing, it's all free from Maya. Our vision is completely flooded with Maya in everything. So, and that is why Siddha has completely wiped out Maya from inside. For him, Maya is mithya. It's a pratibhasam it is. Mithya pratibhasam, right? It's not real for him anymore. Like the way we think about this world, everything is real for us. People are real. World is real. And due to our conditioning, we think that everything will be like this. Somehow or the other, I have to enjoy and live here. And with as long as everything is fine, with my health is good, and funding is good, financial is good, family is all well settled, I'm happy. This is my state. That avidya's perfection, I'm saying, how good avidya is. Whereas, from a jnani's platform, if you look at it, he is only seeing without this Maya, what we have got, right? So, Siddha or a perfected person, he recognizes Maya's presence, unlike us. We don't recognize Maya's presence. So, and Siddha doesn't see Namarupam. He doesn't see Namarupam. He only sees Krishna's presence in everything. He doesn't see Namarupam. He sees only Krishna's presence. So Siddha means perfected person in spiritual life. One who had done sadhana and became perfect is called a Siddha. Sadhana leads to Siddhi, right? So that Siddha's vision is proper vision, paramarthika drishti. Paramarthika drishti, right? Ours is all vyavaharika drishti. For us, everything we have to do in the bodily level, bodily understanding, right? So, Ajnani's drishti, Jnani or Siddha, their drishti or vision is paramarthika drishti, and Ajnani is like us, our drishti is vyavaharika drishti, right? So, in vyavaharika drishti, that means in our drishti, Namarupam will be very strong. And that's what we will look at. Only Namam and Rupam. We will not be able to see the Paramarthikam side of it, absolute form. So the presence of Sachidanandam in all this Namarupam, its presence has to be understood from Shastram only, in our present state. We can only do that, right? And to separate the presence of Sachidanandam in the Namarupam, that capacity to separate them, we haven't got it yet. We haven't got it. For which Jnana Drishti is required. And that's not open in us, right? So when the Jnana Drishti opens, then you will see Sachidanandam once, Namarupam separately, you will only see the Sachidanandam, because that's the only real side of it. Namarupam is the false part of it. Today we are only seeing, Ajnani sees only the false side, Namarupam. Jnani sees only the real one, the real thing, Sachidanandam there, right? So, and that is what Krishna is also saying, isn't it? Ulkramandam sidam vabi, bunjanam va gunanyudam, vimudha nanu pashyandi, pashyandi jnana jashusha. He says that jnana jashusha is required to see things properly first of all. So from this you can understand that if you propagate alone, people are not going to understand everything. Bhakti you can propagate, jnanam you can't propagate. Spiritual knowledge you can't propagate. You can propagate bhakti. It will have its benefit. To develop bhakti in somebody's heart, that's beneficial. But jnanam you can't propagate. Why? If you propagate jnanam, it will all be misunderstood. A lot of things will go wrong because jnana drishti is not there. So ajnana drishti, if you start studying jnanam, you will jnanam will mix up with the jnanam completely. That's what he's saying here, right? Then kratu kratu means sangalpam. This is sangalpa shakti. Sangalpa shakti means able to decide certain things in within your mind, imagining something and making it in the mind, getting it fixed. That sangalpa shakti of the mind, that is called kradum. For example, in mind, Krishna's presence is there, right? Earlier we have said the subtle body, andhakaranam, is Krishna's swarupam, right? Otherwise we can say, in Brahman, this sangalpam came, that let me one become many. Yeah? So, Bahu Shyam Prajayate, Upanishad it is, right? I become many, and that's due to sangalpam. Why did all the jivas come? Because originally we are all in the Brahman, but we all became many, and these many jivas came because of that sangalpam, right? And that sangalpam power is not different from Shiva. It is from that sangalpam only that kalam agitates Maya, three modes of nature. It is all sangalpam only within Brahman it is happening, right? And Prakriti is, that Maya is the, afterwards transformation happens one after the other. So that sangalpam power is also Shiva, another swarupam of Shiva, right? Similarly, dharmam has got two forms, satyam, hridam, two types of dharmam, right? And they are both Shiva. So you can see, they are trying to explain to us, Prajapatis are saying this, to make us understand who is Shiva. What does Shiva mean, right? So it is here that hridam, satyam hridam, right? Two types, satyam hridam cha dharmam. He says, kala kradu satyam hridam cha dharmam. Satyam hridam cha dharmam, right? What does that mean, the difference between hridam and satyam? Hridam means the realization of the satyam or Bhagavat Swarupam, what is to be realized, that is called hridam. And satyam means that the process by which you realize it, or what we call as the sadhana process. So dharmam has got these two things, hridam, satyam. Hridam means what is to be realized at the end. That swarupam of Krishna to be realized. When we say Krishna to be realized means what? Sagunam realization is the form. But nirgunam realization is the real realization, in the sense that Krishna is making us realize that my swarupam is not different from Krishna's swarupam. That is nirguna bhava, nirgunam realization. So both saguna nirguna, both are realizations. Sagunam is a realization of the form. Nirgunam is a realization of my form, what it is. My own form, and which is not different from Krishna's form. Form, don't go by the form. When we say form, doesn't mean the form what you see with the eyes. Form means that Swarupam means that I am consciousness, Krishna is also pure consciousness. That Bodham. That means Satya Chitta Anandam. Satchita Anandam Brahmam realization is a Nirguna Brahmam realization. Yeah? So this is the difference. So both of them, Satyam Hridam, both are Shiva Swarupam, it says here. Similarly, Ahangaram, it was said, Bhagavat Swarupam, Mahatattvam Bhagavat Swarupam, and all of it is Hridam Satyam. Hridam means our ultimate goal, where we want to be at the end, self-realized state, that is Hridam, which means Satchidananda Swarupam. And the process by which to get there, or that which will take us there, that sadhana process, or the process what we have to follow to get there, is also considered to be, that is considered to be dharma, satyam. And these both hridam and satyam are two sides of dharma. Two sides. Dharma has a big definition in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? In several places. Several places, right? You can see, Veda Pranihido Dharmam, it says, in the Ajamila story. Veda Pranihido Dharmam, Adharmasto Vibhajayam, Vedo Narayana Sakshal, Swayambhuridhi Shishruma. That verse, if you look, you will see the explanation there. Then Dharma Projita Kaida Votra Paramo, Nirmal Saranam Sadam. So, so what you realize at the end, that is Hridam. And both of them, and the sadhana process is satyam. For that. When I say sadhana, immediately your mind will go in another way. You will start thinking, chanting my 16 rounds, is it? That is only one aspect of the sadhana. Sadhana processes is very difficult to explain everything, because it includes so much, right? Yesterday we spoke about this a little bit, that nine processes sadhana is there. Bhakti, nine sadhana. Now bhakti sadhana. Shravanam kirtanam onwards, right? Out of that you can see, shravanam and kirtanam is external, but smaranam is internal. So, and shravanam and kirtanam is supposed to lead you into smaranam. It is for that purpose shravanam kirtanam you are doing. You are not doing shravanam kirtanam, otherwise it's a mechanical thing, isn't it? By doing shravanam kirtanam, it should lead into smaranam. And Shuga Brahmarshi is always talking about smaranam more than anything else, is it not? In the second canto he said that. Shravana smaranarhani. Kundi Devi said the same thing. Shravana smaranarhani, he says. Smaranam is the internal one. So internal sadhana is a smaranam. Shravanam kirtanam is external sadhana. So external sadhana, in due course, it should lead into internal sadhana. That's the goal behind it. Every external sadhana is meant ultimately to lead for internal sadhana. But most of us, we stay with the external sadhana as long as we can. And then we go, leaving everything behind. We didn't get time for internal sadhana. Maybe we'll keep it for the next life, if it happens. So this is the way it is. Spiritual life is like that. So what he's saying here is that all of that is the dharmam, what we are talking about, isn't it? Dharmam has got these two sides, hridam and satyam. So hridam is the one that you realize after internal sadhana. So smarana is given very much importance, which is very much an internal thing, not an external thing, isn't it? It's a very much an internal thing, smarana. Continuously able to remember Krishna. Remember means not like the way we remember the formulas and verses. Remembering means that feeling of experience inside, Krishna is inside, Asandaryami, that awareness inside, bodham, all the time. To come to that level. And that is why Krishna said that Naresha Bhishnam, he said that in the Ekadasham, right? So, all these are Bhagavad Swarupam, and Dharmam sadhana also. So with that sadhyam, which is Krishna, is available, and that is Bhagavat Swarupam, Sachidananda Swarupam, that dharma, right? So any, so we are talking about sadhana. All these nine processes are all part of sadhana. They can be one, they can be all together, and then apart from that, these are nine processes spoken generally in the now Prahlada's episode, isn't it? It's what's spoken, right? And in addition to that, there are other sadhanas we do. For example, going to holy places, bathing in holy rivers, and doing deity worship. They all have, even though you can bring them all into these nine processes, in deity worship also there is so much of variety there also. Different processes followed. And unlimited way this bhakti can be practiced in that process, right? All it means is, all these different types of sadhana, which finally brings us into self-realization, that is called hridam. And all the sadhanas combined together, it doesn't matter which sadhana it is, if you combine all of them together, that is called satyam. Hridam, satyam, right? So, and therefore, they are also considered to be Shiva, all of them, in these words, I'm saying. So, how do they get this Shiva Swarupam, right? And that is what the fourth line is saying. So, yacharam yat trivadamanandi. How did all the sadhanas become Shiva? He's saying, so yacharam yat trivadamanandi. Achara pradhanam. Pradhanam means, actually, his original Swarupam is Shuddha Sachidanandam, pure Sachidanandam, right? But from Mahatattvam onwards, it is Maya's transformation, isn't it? He entered into Maya, and then Maya started changing. And so everything else is Mahatattvam. From Mahatattvam it began, and then it ended up in this gross world. Ultimately, it ends up in this gross form, in the form of world, right? So all this is karyam, right? All of it is karyam. So Maya is the karanam, and the whole rest of the creation is all karyam, right? But mahatattvam, ahankaram, the tanmatras, the subtle elements, subtle form, then five material elements, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, subtle body, and the predominating deities of all these different senses, right? In Adhishtata Devata, all of them together, it is combined together is this creation. Is this creation, right? Because all these things together is creation comes. Prapancham, in other words, right? So, the root of all this prapancham or creation is Maya, right? And that Maya is dependent on Shiva. Maya is dependent on Shiva. And that means Shiva's presence is there in the Maya. And Maya's transformation is all the rest, what we have spoken about. So in all of them, when Maya is transforming like this, Shiva's presence is there in the Maya, and because Shiva's presence is there in the Maya, when Maya transformed into all these things, what we spoke, in all of them Shiva is present. So, therefore, and that is what is spoken here. Because of the presence of Shiva in Maya, like we say, Brahman is present in the Maya, or Krishna is present in the Maya. When we say Shiva and Brahma, Krishna and all, we are referring to the Chaitanyam, or consciousness, or Bodham. Sachidananda Brahman, that's what here is. We are talking about. So, due to that, Maya when transformed in everything, Shiva is also present, right? And in that way, In everything what has come in this creation, He is present. You cannot take it out. He is present there, right? And that is why in everything when we look at it, you feel it exists, it exists, it exists. That feeling is coming from that, right? So, realize the souls, they see this creation purely from that side as Shiva's manifestation. That's the only way they can see it. They only know Shiva, and Shiva is present in everything. That's the way they see it. And they experience it like that. And they will insist on that for others who are not realized. So, ajnanis like us, we can only imagine like that. We don't have the realization, isn't it? So, we have to hear this, and we have to imagine in our mind in that way, that it is like that. And so all we can do now to understand all this from the Shastram and within our own mind imagine like that, yes, it is Krishna's manifestation all this, or Shiva's manifestation, everything. So in this way, but realization has to come, right? Till then, you can keep looking at everything in that way. That it's all Krishna's manifestation. You can only say that, but it's not there in the realization. To yaksharam yatra udamanandi. Look at the next verse. Agnirmukham te akhila devadalma shidim vidur loga bhavangri pankajam kalam gedim te akhila devadalmano Nishashakarna Urasanam Jalesham Agnirmukham Dekhila Devadalpa Kshidim Vidur Loga Bhavangri Pankajam Kalam Gadim De Akhila Devadalpano Nishashakarna Urasanam Jalesham Bhumi, earthly planet, in the concept of the Viral Purusha form, is considered to be the feet, and kalam is considered to be, or time is considered to be, you are moving in a direction, and different directions what you feel is from where the ear is receiving the sound, right? And the taste what you experience inside is Varuna. So Varuna is in the water, isn't it? You know, this is the way Shastram will speak, in the sense that jalam is water. Water's sushma rupam is rasana, taste, isn't it? Tanmatra form is rasana. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, the five subtle form. Earth, water, air, ether, fire is the gross form. Right? Earth, water, air, ether, fire is a gross form. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form is a subtle form. So, this subtle form is more important than the gross form. Water is everywhere. But what is the tanmatra from which water came? That is taste. Isn't it? From smell came the earth. From taste came the water. From form came the fire. And from touch came the air. And from sound came the space. So that is the relationship between tanmatras and the material elements. With that relationship in place, what he's saying here is that taste form of that water is Varuna. We gave a form to that and that's Varuna. Similarly, the predominating deity in the ear, Dikpalagas, they are called. Sound is coming from everywhere, which is perceived through the ear. And similarly, kalam, time, is a direction in which this is moving. The whole thing is moving. Let us look at that. In the Vedam, Agni is spoken as what? sarva devada swarupam. In other words, because Agni is the main main entity in the sacrifices. Agni is the main entity. So therefore, he is considered to be the face of all the devadas. Because Agni, through Agni, receives everything and transfers into different devadas in the sacrifices. So they are saying, therefore, because Agni is transferring everything to different devadas, Agni is the mouth of all the devadas. Akhila devadalma. He says, Agnir mukham te akhila devadalma. Look at the first word, first line itself is saying that. Agni is the mukham of akhila devada. All devadas mukham is Agni. Why? Because it is through Agni you give the havis in the yagam. You give the havis in the yagam, and that havis is transferred to different devadas based on the mantram that was chanted by the Hodava or the Ritviks who are chanting that. You have to understand the culture of the yagam or yajnam. Yajnam or yagam. It is like that. Yeah. So Agni, therefore, Agni, because he receives everything, everything is given through him, and he takes it and hands over to all the devadas to whom it was meant, based on the mantrams that were chanted in the yajnam. Accordingly, it is delivered, right? So, therefore, Agni is supposed to be the mouth or the face of the all devadas, right? So, and similarly, Bhumi Devi is considered to be the feet, and that's what he's saying. Chidim vidur loka bhava angri pangajam, the second verse, second line, right? Similarly, loka karana bhudam means. This world, from where does that come from? And he is the loka bhava angri pangajam, loka bhava. Krishna is the cause of everything, or Shiva is the cause of everything, and Bhumi Devi, or Bhumi, is earth, is considered to be your feet in the Vedam, And then, Kalam gadim de akhila deva dalpano dishascha karnau rasanam jalesham. Because akhila deva da swarupam. Brahmam is the source, everything. All devadas are coming from Brahmam. And when the Brahmam is in the form of these devadas, when they come, and all the things what's happening, and that power that is making these things happening, that power behind that is Kalam. So, Kalam is understood in that way, that the Akhila Devada Swarupam, all these devadas were present there, and their activities, and that movement of these different form devadas, that is caused by Kalam. Kalam, right? So, and that Kalam is also your form. Here, Kalam is spoken as Shiva's form. In Bhagavad Gita, you will see Kalam is spoken, Kalosmi, Krishna says. So, Krishna is also speaking from the level of Brahman. Here, Prajapati is also speaking about Shiva from the same situation. Yeah? Kalosmi loga kshayagra pravarta logaan samahartam iha pravarta krte vitvam napavishyande sarve yavasthido pratyanigeshu yodha. If you look at the 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this to Arjuna. Kalosmi, I am Kalam, he says. So Kalam is spoken in the Vedam as Sarvadevada Swarupam. And Kalam, how do we understand Kalam? We can understand Kalam in another way. What the real way to understand for us is creation, maintenance, dissolution. It is because of that there is effect on us is Kalam. Otherwise we won't take note of Kalam, isn't it? Because everything is born, everything is staying for some time, and everything is disappearing one day. And then we say, it's the effect of time, Kalam. So Kalam, the way to understand is creation, maintenance and dissolution. And that power which makes this happen in the three modes is Kalam. Is Kalam. So in this way, many, many different ways Kalam is spoken in the Vedam. Spoken in the Vedam. But, and that is also your another form. Shiva's another form. Right? So, and what is Agni? Agni, Agni has got this power to burn things. Dahaka Shakti. Right? So, this capacity to burn things, what is in Agni? The fire to burn everything into ashes. Right? And that power and Agni, they are not two different things. Right? Actually, this capacity to burn is Agni. Agni is different from all other elements because of this, isn't it? It's able to burn things. That Dahaka Shakti, right? Similarly, in the same way, when we say Agni, Agni means fire, we say fire, right? When we say something is fiery, means it has got the capacity to burn somebody. We talk about people sometimes, it's very fiery, we say. Means that he is capable of disturbing, agitating everybody or giving a lot of fire to others, right? Fiery nature. Similarly, that is one way of saying. Similarly, normal Agni means that it has got the capacity to burn something into ashes, right? So, in the same way, the power that agitates three modes of nature is Kalam. So, Kalam, and that Kalam is Shiva. And that fire which has got the capacity to burn things, that firepower, burning power, that is Shiva. So that's how it is saying here. So these three things to happen, which one? Creation, maintenance and dissolution. In order that to happen, Maya cannot do that unless she gets a support from Kalam, from time. It is the help of Kalam that it is done. So, that is how Kalam is understood generally by people, right? Yeah. And to Arjuna he said the same thing, isn't he? If you look at that verse, you will see this. Kalosmi Logakshayakar Pravardha. He says, you experience this Logakshayam, destruction of this world under the influence of time, and that's me, he says. So that's the same principle what is spoken here. So, and he said that I am that time who comes in the form of death. And I am Kalam, which will destroy everything. Kalosmi, right? So that is how Krishna showed Arjuna. Kalosmi loga kshayagar pravartha. Logan samahartu miha pravartha. Hrdeya vitva nabhavishyandi sarve. Yevastido pratyanigeshi yodha. That verse, yeah? So Kalam is these three things. Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam is Kalam. And in the 24th chapter, Kapila Maharishi's teachings to Devahuti, there also when Kalam is spoken in the same way. And he says, Kalam is frightened of me, Krishna says there. Isn't it? Kalam is frightened of me. That Kalam is Samhara Shakti, or destructive side of Kalam. Right? Kapilam, you will see there, I am frightened of Kalam. Wind is blowing because he is frightened of Kalam. Fire is burning because it's frightened of Kalam. All those verses you can read there. In the 24th chapter, end of 24th chapter. So, Gunaparinamam, the three modes of nature are changing. Gunakshobham, or that Kala Shakti, which is creating this agitation. Kala Swarupam, that is what creates this creation, maintenance and dissolution. So, without influence of time, Maya cannot do these three things, creation, maintenance and dissolution, right? So in this way, the three modes, the Kalam is nothing but creation, maintenance and dissolution. And that creation, and that kalam is dependent on Shiva. And therefore, that's also his surubam. That's what he's saying. Kalam gajim tekila devadatmana. Akila devadatmana. It says there. Yeah. So, kalam is considered to be akila devadatma. In Vedam and Shastram, everything, right? So, sarva devada surubam is Shiva. So, Viral Purusha we have spoken in the beginning, and it is his limbs, all these things, and they are all part of him. It is spoken like this, the face is Agni, fire, right? And feet is Vishnu, the eyes are sun, the hands are Indra. That's the way it is spoken, the Viral Purusha's form, right? So the eyes are the sun. Eyes are the sun. In this way, that Viral Purusha's form when we spoke, right, they are all representing different Devada forms present in that Viral Purusha form. In other words, everything is such as Brahmam only. Brahmam in different forms, we are addressing him in different names. Different parts of the Viral Purusha's body. Remember I mentioned this to you in the beginning, that because we cannot comprehend Brahmam within us, it is not possible because it's huge. Even our mind cannot completely comprehend Brahmam. Imagine trillions and trillions of universes existing. They are saying, how can you comprehend it within our mind? So therefore what they did was, the presence of that Sachidananda Brahmam in one universe they have taken. And that is Viral Purusha form. And that Viral Purusha consists of all these different limbs of the body. And that different limbs are different devadas, which is also part of the Viral Purusha. And that is why these devadas come in. And that is where the Rigvedam says, Ekam sad vipra bahuda vadandhi. That comes from that. Vastu is one, but it is spoken in many forms. One part is Indra, one part is Surya, one part is Vishnu, one part is Shiva, in that way, right? So, so all devadas are part of him, right? And there is no devada which is separate from him. So you know that many people say, in Sanatana Dharma, there are so many gods. There is no so many gods. Because they have not understood it. The proper way. That is why that they say, you've got so many gods. You don't believe in one god. And all kinds of arguments they put forward. Actually, it is not true. It's only in Sanatana Dharma, there is only one. In all other things, there are many. But in Sanatana Dharma, there is only one. That is Sachidananda Brahmam. That's what it is, right? So, whichever form of this Viral Purusha form you're worshipping, you're actually worshipping him, that one truth behind it. And that is the Sanadana Satyam, right? So, one Sachidanandam. Sachidanandam, the problem is, Sachidanandam, it is difficult to connect with it for us. We cannot connect with Sachidanandam, right? So, only for very few people have that capacity, because they might have performed in previous lifetimes, sufficiently spiritually progressed, that in this life they are able to relate with Sachidananda Brahman straight away. So, those who have tried very hard and succeeded, they will realize pure Sachidananda Brahmam. But it is easier to see Sachidananda Brahmam through a form. It is easier to see Sachidananda Brahmam through a form, right? So, from the point of Nirguna Upasana, Nirguna means without forms, when you are doing that Upasana, they will say that Puranams give importance to Sagunam, Saguna Upasana. Upanishads are more focused on Nirguna Upasana. So when you are preaching Puranam, you will talk about all forms. In Upanishads, no forms are, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and all don't exist in there, right? So, but whatever it is, they are all part of the Vedic knowledge. So that is why I said, with Puranam way if you go, it is Sagunam Brahmam. And in the Upanishad say if you go, it is Nirgunam Brahmam. And both of them is in the Vedam. They are all part of the Vedam, right? So, so to understand it, pure Sachidanandam, in unlimited forms, in the form of Devadas, it takes a form for the benefit of the, and therefore it is easy to worship that form. As I said before, that without a form it is difficult to connect with the, with Brahman, right? So, and these Devadas forms is what we are worshipping at different place, different forms, right? And it is possible to get liberation or release from the cycle of birth and death if you worship the forms, Sachidananda forms, right? But only thing is, while worshipping the different forms, you have to have that relationship in such a way that you are actually dealing with Sachidananda Brahma. You shouldn't think the form is the only thing. No, form is also a manifestation of the Sachidananda Brahmam. In that way, through any form, you can relate with Sachidananda Brahmam. So, you shouldn't think that if you only worship as Vishnu, Shiva, Parvati, like that, if you worship that, it only becomes Devata Upasana. It becomes Devata Upasana. It is not complete in itself, right? Self-realization. So instead, if you think that Sachidananda Paramatma is one and present in front of us in various forms, and you are choosing the form what is favorable for your, that's why it's called Ishta Devata, isn't it? What is favorable for your mind. So in that way, you can approach any of these forms, and that will become worship of the Sachidananda Brahman. And only with this awareness, if you worship any forms, then it becomes proper upasana, right? So, and only, so if you only worship that form only, alone, if you worship, without knowing the reality of this relationship with Sachidananda Brahman and the form, proper bhakti and jnanam will be difficult if that relationship is not known. Always this awareness should be there that the form I am worshipping is nothing but absolute truth. Sachidananda Brahman in this form I am worshipping in that way. And that is what he is saying here also. You see that? Kalam gadimde akhila devadalpano dishascha karno rasanam jalesham. Right? Rasanam jalesham. Akhila devada swarupam you are. Truth is one. But the truth can have many forms, is it not? Many forms. Incarnations, all incarnations. And then incarnations are there. And then you also have the three modes of nature based. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Then all the incarnations of Shiva, all the incarnations of Vishnu or Krishna, all of them are all relating to this one truth, Sachidananda Brahman. Right? Next verse. Nabhir nabhaste shasanam nabhaswan suryascha chakshum shi jalam smarega paravaralpma shrenam tavalpma somo mano dhyaur bhagavan shiraste. Then it says about the Viral Swarupam that the space is your abdomen, Vayu is your breathing, eye is your, sun is your eye, water is your semen, and all higher and lower living entities, they are all manifestations of Ahankaram in them, and moon is the mind, and heavenly planets is your head. So, Sachidananda Brahman, in this Viral Surupam form, his abdomen, Nabhi, is space. Yeah. Then Pranan is the Vayu in there. Chakshusa is the Suryan. Eyes are the sun. Water is the semen. And all the living entities, which are higher and lower, all of them, they are identified through Ahankaram. Ahankaram operates in every jiva, every living entity, isn't it? Jivas are all Ahankaram only. But Ahankaram at different levels. The Ahankaram in us is different than the Ahankaram in the elephant. You can see that. The Ahankaram in the lion is different from the Ahankaram in the parrot. Or another, or the Ahankaram in the plant is different than the Ahankaram in the huge tree. Is it not? So how is that change? Like, you can observe ourselves. Our Ahankaram works in one particular way. Their Ahankaram works in a different way. The elephant's Ahankaram is different than our Ahankaram, isn't it? Our Ahankaram, we want to control the whole world. And we want to fight for, with weapons and all that. Elephant doesn't do all that. Elephant's Ahankaram limits, as long as it gets its food to eat, and it has got its eating, sleeping, mating requirements, it's met. Elephant won't give you any trouble. It will happy to live, it will come and won't come and attack us or anything. But we, our Ahankaram is so strong that we'll go to the forest and hunt him and kill him. And if possible, we will try to make some money out of his tusk by selling them. And all sorts of things we'll do with him. But he won't do that to us. So what does that show? It shows that our Ahankaram is different than his Ahankaram, isn't it? So, all jiva is a part of that universal form based on this Ahankaram basis, right? And you look at ourselves, for example, right? Our personality, which is the Ahankaram in us, right? We have these identifications with what? Born in a particular country, in a particular country. That is Ahankaram, isn't it? Born in a particular country. Then, or in a particular state, or in a district, or in a small town. And then, this is my father, this is my mother, right? I am their son or daughter. All these are Ahankaram of a jiva. Nothing more than that. It's all illusion only, Maya only. Maya puts this Ahankaram in such a way that we get so many identification with various things, right? And jiva on its own has no relationship with father, mother, or a place where it's born. It has no relationship. But within himself, he has identified with it and thinking that he is my father and mother. Or this is my place of birth, right? And only we, human species, carry this with them. So you can see the Ahankaram, how it works in us. Only we carry this identification with us wherever we go. Say you bring an elephant from Africa here. Elephant won't tell you, look, I'm an African, I'm not an English elephant. He won't tell you that. But we will still hold our identity from where we came from. So you can see the difference way Ahankaram operates within us, right? So Vyaktitva Abhimanam, this personality or individuality or ego, operates in a person, and that Ahankaram is the Ahankaram of the Viral Purusha, Ahankaram, right? And it is that Samashti Ahankaram, that means the combined Ahankaram that is present in the Viral Purusha is coming in the Veshti Bhava, individual level, right? So, and that manifests in us in the form of personality. Samashti Ahankaram, the sum total of all the Ahankarams, which is present in that Viral Purusha form, that energy called Ahankaram, it comes, when it comes to us, it becomes personality. Vyaktitva Abhimanam, right? So, earlier we said that Samashti Ahankaram came Pranendriyam. So, Ahankaram is also Shiva Swarupam. Next verse. Kutshis Samudra Girayosti Sangha Romani Sarvaushadi Virutaste Chandamsi Saksha Tava Saptadhadava Strayimai Alpan Kradayam Sarvadharmaha. That personification of the Vedam, it says. The oceans are your Kutshi. Parvadam is, or the mountains are your bones, aushadhi, medicines, all are your romam, hair. Gayatri, chandasa, they are all your dhadu, sapta dhadus. And all the dharmam is your heart. You can read that translation in the book itself, right? So, mountains are spoken as asti, bones, right? And all the vegetation, like grains, what they are growing, right? Aushadhi, the medicinal things, creepers, the different plants and creepers, all they are compared to the hair in the body of the Viral Purusha, right? Gayatri Chandasa, they are considered to be the dhadus. Sapta dhadus are present. Our body is made of seven dhadus based on the Ayurveda. Dhadus are, you know what they are, seven dhadus. Blood, mucus, flesh, bones, like that, there are seven of them. All of them, right? So, and heart of this Viral Purusha is Vedam, Dharma Swarupam, right? Dharmam came from the Vedam. So it is considered to be the heart. And heart is all the dharmam present. And in that way it is spoken about him, about Shiva in that way. So it continues like this for a few more verses about that. And then finishes later in the verse 35. I think. And at the end he's saying, yeah, I'll continue with that later, but he said that the way we have glorified you, the Prajapatis are saying to Shiva, the way we have glorified you is with our limited understanding of you. You see? After saying all these things, he's saying that. The way we have glorified you is with our limited understanding of you. So you can see how difficult glorifications are. We'll continue next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.